J6, number 18A.
Yes, so we see then that he said, let's ask the text certain questions. I'm sorry that this transparency certainly is a bit dark, to say the least, but we would see here projected the different questions that they asked the text in those days, because Dorley said the most important point, and they realized, is not to put their humanly subjective interpretation into what the terms mean to them. They wanted to find out just what Mrs. Eddy meant by these terms, or what revelation through revelation, what the spiritual meaning of these terms as she defined it in the textbook. So he said to them, let's do it this way. Let's take one synonym at a time. And he said, all right, then let's begin with mind, because she begins in the definition for God with mind. So he says, well, we'll put the other synonyms aside and we'll do one at a time. And we'll say, underlined everywhere mind appears. And he says, and then study every sentence in Science and Health in which the term, for example, mind appears. And then ask ourselves questions, he says. Then ask this question each time the term appears. By what particular quality is the nature of the synonymous term characterized? For instance, taking the synonymous term mind, ask every sentence in which the term mind appears these questions. What is mind? And that's the main thing. It's always about what is mind. So when mind appears in a sentence, you say to yourself, what is Mrs. Eddy saying that what mind is? What does mind do? Now, that's not that operational sense. It's not asking how mind is operating within the paragraph. It's still defining mind as what mind is. You ask it, what does mind do? What does mind deal with? And how does mind interpret itself? All in a framework of definition in that sentence. Usually the answer to these questions can be stated in one word. Again, using mind as an example, we may find in answer to these questions that mind is the creator. See, we may go in and somewhere where we have mind underlined, we may ask the question, what is mind to it? And Mrs. Eddy might say, well, mind is the grand creator, which she does. So on a sheet of paper with the heading of mind, in one or two words, they would just say, mind is grand creator. Or maybe in that same, or she would have said, mind manifests itself. Well, that's defining what mind does. So on that page, we would have just said, manifest, mind manifests itself. Or he says, we could have asked, or Mrs. Eddy would say in that sentence, maybe she would have said, mind deals with ideas. So they wrote down, mind deals with ideas. Huh? Just as simple as possible. Or she would have said, mind interprets itself as the one mind. So on the sheet under mind, they just wrote down one mind. It's the one mind. So he said, write down all the answers to these questions, and it soon will become apparent that there is quite a comprehensive list of ideas or specific characteristics for each idea. So as they went through, they began to write it down. He said, and for example, they began to find out that mind had to do with creator, producer, parent mind. So you see their paper would have looked something like we have on page 6 in the study aid. Their piece of paper would have had mind at the top, maybe underlined in black. And then they would have written down how Mrs. Eddy defined mind. In all those references on page 753 references, They would have written down what they felt, how she was defining mind in asking those questions. So they would start a list with mind, writing down how she defined it. Mind is the creator, she would say, or mind is the producer, or mind is the parent mind, or mind forms, or mind is the cause, or mind is the first, and mind is the basis. So they began building up what we call the ideas list. Those ideas which characterize mind as defined in the textbook. Then, as they were going along, they also would see that Mrs. Eddy would sometimes say, well, mind is the creator, the intelligent creator of the universe. It certainly has nothing to do with ignorance. Or she would say, mind is the law behind the universe. It has nothing to do with human laws. Or mind is the only medicine, and it has nothing to do with drugs. Mind is the all influence. It certainly has nothing to do with animal magnetism or false influence. And they start seeing that she was also showing the opposites to the ideas of mind. So they also started building up how she would show the negative to mind itself. She would literally say, mind is not mortal mind. So they would write, start also on another sheet, indicate maybe where the positive, where mind's ideas would be with a straight line. And when she said that mind is intelligence, they would show that it, write it down as an intelligence. But mind is not mortal mind. Often there that she, with the broken line in black, they would say, well, mind, straight line, black mind, that's positive. But mind is not mortal mind, broken mind, black, you see. They started to build up another sheet of paper of all those counterfeit claims against mind. Like mind is not mortal mind, that went on another sheet. Mind is not ignorance, you see. Mind has nothing to do with matter. Mind has nothing to do with one's mind of one's own. Mind has nothing to do with false influence, animal magnetism. Mind has not certainly nothing to do with ignorance or sensuous reasoning. Mind is a medicine. It has nothing to do with brain, drugs, things like that. So they built up a counterfeit. She never had a counterfact list. There are no counterfacts to God. God just is, but there are counterfeits, that which wants to feign the original. Then they did the same thing with all the references to spirit, which we would see on page 7 in the study aid. They went through and asked all the same questions as they did to mine. What is spirit? Going through all those 579 references, what is spirit? What does it do? What does it deal with? How does it interpret itself? And then they wrote them down. And we have them in the study aid there, where she says, all right, then, that spirit separates ideas from illusion. That's what it does. Huh? Spirit is that faculty of discernment or understanding. Or she would say, spirit brings the warfare between spirit and the flesh. That's what it does. So they wrote it down. Spirit is the strength of spirit. Spirit is 11. So they built up a list of ideas characterizing spirit. But again, she would say, well, spirit is the only. It has nothing to do with duality. So we'd see the opposite of spirit, counterfeit list. Would be duality is the opposite of spirit. Or she said, spirit is idea substance. It has nothing to do with matter. They would write that down. Spirit is of the nature of spirit, not spiritualism, which is duality. So they began to build their list up for spirit. Then the same way you see, we go on, we'll just quickly go through the study aid there. So on page 8, with soul in the study aid, the 161 references to soul built up the same idealist for soul. You can see soul takes us from the journey from sense to soul. Soul is identity. Soul names, etc., etc., building up what soul is and then what soul is not. Soul is not in the material sense. It's in spiritual sense. Soul is not embodied. So she builds up the idea, slowly an idealist for soul and not for, and it's counterfeit claim. Then on page 9, we have in the study aid all the ideas, how she defines principle as it appears this 294 times, and then the counterfeit claims against principle, where principle is the creative principle, and so on. And then on page 10 in the study aid, we see the list where they began to get that of life, where life appeared the 366 times. She said, well, life is that life principle. It's the father. It's the self-sustaining life. Then the counterfeit claim. Life has nothing to do with material life. It has nothing to do with organic life or food. And then she would show, define in the textbook, truth in those 703 places, that truth has to do with, therefore, the actuality of God. It has to do with claiming the truth. It has to do with the ideal standard and so forth, consciousness. And then what truth is not, the counterfeit list where truth is not is a counterfeited by error. Truth is handles the false belief against it of lie, of sickness. And then they built up the list of love, where in the compendium, I mean in the study aid on page 12, where they see how she defined love, really. That love is the mother, or love beats every human need, or love is inexhaustible, or love is universal. And then love is not fear, love is not hate, love is not jealousy. So they came there with that. So what they were able to find out through this list, and I want to talk more about Dorley's work this afternoon, but what they finally arrived at, and this is the last point I'll talk about before our break for lunch, is that Mrs. Eddy then defined, you know, when we turn to page 465 in the textbook, we see there that in her definition for God, she says after that, are these terms synonymous? And then she says, well, they are. Well, so the church will say to Dorley, well, this was a silly work for you to be doing. These terms are freely interchangeable. And Dorley says, well, I'm finding out that they're not, that mind is characterized by a certain ideas that spirit isn't characterized by. And soul is characterized by a certain ideas that principle or mind or spirit aren't characterized. He says, I'm finding in my research that she has given certain characteristics to these synonymous terms that differ from the synonyms. And he began to see that's important, that these synonyms are the same when they refer to God, but they differ. And so you see in that definition where Mrs. Eddy says, are these terms synonymous? She says, well, these terms refer to God, but she says they also bring out the attributes of God. Meaning, yes, these terms are similar when they appear synonymous insofar as when they refer to God, but they differ when they bring out the attributes of God. So Dorley could see that the church didn't understand what she meant when she said these terms are synonymous. The church was taking it as being freely interchangeable. So just before we break now, let's read through this definition of synonymous here. Right up this point right here by Funk and Wagnall. And if you have your mind compendium, If you turn just to the beginning of the mind compendium there, this term synonymous is in there also. Or if you wanted, you could turn to the study aid on page 116, whichever is convenient for you. And let's read that definition for synonymous. Page 91 in the mind compendium or page 116 in the study aid. They're both the Funk and Wagnall definition. Now, what we read then is by synonymous words, this is the definition from Funk and Wagnall. By synonymous words, we usually understand words that coincide or nearly coincide in some part of their meaning and may hence, within certain limits, be used interchangeably, while outside of these limits, they may differ very greatly in meaning and use. So it is the office of a work of synonyms to point out these correspondences and differences. That language may have the flexibility that comes from freedom of selection within the common limits, with a perspicuity and precision that results from exact choice of the fittest word to express each shade of meaning outside of the common limits. To consider synonymous words identical is fatal to accuracy. To forget that they are similar, to some extent equivalent, and sometimes interchangeable is destructive of freedom and variety. So, what we can see here very clearly is in this definition of synonymous, again, this is a bit dark, this transparency, but in this definition of synonymous, we see that synonyms are not equinyms. They are not all equal. That synonymous terms are not purely identical terms. That in the meaning of synonymous terms, as a point A, have clearly distinguishable differences while coinciding in some part of their meaning. Or we can say synonymous terms are not freely interchangeable outside of certain limits. That means you can't freely interchange mind with spirit and soul when they are talking about their differences, where mind deals with law and spirit deals with order and soul deals with rule. They differ. They have different ideas that characterize them. And yet they are freely interchangeable within certain limits when they refer to God. When mind refers to God, or spirit refers to God, or soul refers to God, or principle, life, truth, and love are God, then they're interchangeable. Then you can just say, well, mind is God, spirit is God, soul is God, principle. But when they want to bring out a specific aspect of God, they differ according to the ideas. And there is where the church began to say Dorley's teachings were personal, because they could never see that these synonyms in the textbook are defining a similarity between the synonymous terms and a difference between the synonymous terms. And they began to say his teachings were personal. Well, you can see he was just only asking the text, how does Mrs. Eddy define it? He could see through how she defined it with the ideas list of the synonyms, they were different. Mind had different ideas in spirit. Spirit had different ideas in soul. Soul had different ideas in principle, life, truth, and love. And it was upon these differences they built the science. Because just remember that science always has to have differentiation. Otherwise, it's mysticism or religion. A science is knowledge reduced to order. And order is only built on differentiation. One can only have order when mind differentiates itself from spirit, and spirit differentiates itself from soul, and soul differentiates itself from principle, life, truth, and love. Because then you can say mind is first here, spirit is second, soul is third, principle is fourth, life is fifth, truth is sixth, and love is seventh. And that is the word order. and that is invariable. It never varies. And when that order never varies, it's a law, because law means an invariable order. There would never be laws of God without invariable orders, and orders can only be built on differentiation. So Dorley could see there was a science by Mrs. Eddy wholly on the fact that these synonyms differ, and that's how he built the science, on the order of the synonyms, which became the they could see finally the law of creativity, which finally became the law of the word order, as we see. So the church continued to be a religion. It keeps everything was freely interchangeable, and the terms, they would define the synonymous terms. I know some students in the class said that they, in class instruction, their teacher would say to them, oh, they study the synonyms all right. You go home and you write down, this one lady said, he just picked out principle and said, you write down however it comes to you of the meaning of principle. So she went home and wrote down however she principle meant to her and came back with four sheets of paper. And the teacher looked it over and said, that's wonderful. And she said after she got into the Dorley Kapler line and checked her list of the meaning of principle with Mrs. Eddy's definition, there were only one or two concepts that were the same as how Mrs. Eddy defined principle. Everything else was her own imagination. So you see, there's a difference between the religious approach of the church and the Dorley approach. And that was too much. Dorley was booted out. But as we say, thank goodness, because then they could go on with the study in quietude. Sure, he lost the 500 or so that came to his lectures when he was a popular Christian Science practitioner and teacher. The minute he was booted out of the church and excommunicated, they just went away. They just said, Max said, they just made a huge exodus. And he was ended up with just a handful of students. Of course, Max Kapler then was excommunicated, writing his book on Christian government, which supported Dorley's works and findings. He also then was excommunicated in the supporting of the scientific line. So that's how we come to be today. We just follow the Dorley Kapler line. None of us have any claims against Boston. It was Boston's claim against Dorley, as Kapler wrote in his free literature booklet, Stately Science Pauses Not. Our door is open to the church. Anytime the church is willing to see what they did to the Dorley Kapler line, that's wonderful. It isn't any militant feeling against the church. That's why I feel so strongly that the Dorley Kapler line and the Kapler Institute does not take any militant approach towards the Boston Church organization. That's why we don't adhere to any of these other splinter groups that do, who have lawsuits against Boston, et cetera, et cetera. That is not this line. This is purely a line, a spiritual reasoning that differs from the church. It's not in any militant line or wanting to see the church's downfall. That we can see that people have to come out of a religious sense, out of an animistic sense, into a science. But once we begin to see the science behind Christian Science, why stay in religion? Doesn't make much sense. So when I came out of the church myself in around 1965, I just wrote to the church organization and said, I was grateful for my years in the church, but I feel I have to go on to a scientific view of of science rather than to stay in the religious view. But I was grateful for the experience. And so that's how it goes. Well, this afternoon we'll go on, and I want to just continue building up slowly this whole synonym study.